Now, the White River, just up the road here, is a renowned river for its trout fishing. People come from all over the country to fish. They're not fishing, they're floating and enjoying the natural beauty of the river. If you ever trout fished on the river, or if you observe people fishing on the river, you notice that the common method of fishing is drifting. And there's things that we know about the river and understand about the river and understand about drifting if you're going to be successful at fishing and you're going to stay safe. Now, there's dangers on the river for those that are unaware. I think the strategy also can carry over into our spiritual lives as well. Now, the thing about drifting is it doesn't require any effort. And once we stop paddling or motoring against the current, our boat's going to start drifting. And I think the same applies to us as Christians as well.
Yeah, amen.
This is why the Hebrew writer penned in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Hebrews 2 and verse 1 says there, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." So the writer's telling us that we've got to continue in the things that we've heard, the things that we've learned. Otherwise, we've got to do it with earnest effort, not just a casual effort, but an earnest effort, or these things are likely going to slip away from us. Just as we just mentioned earlier, you know, drifting doesn't require any effort on our part. So it's possible for us to start drifting away without ever really noticing that we're drifting. You know, too many Christians, for lack of diligence and lack of study, have slowly drifted away. Now, I fear that this current virus that we're enduring now has pushed a lot of people beyond the point of returning. And there's also bodies of the church that are gradually drifting away in error, you know, only to find themselves one day they're going to be just far away from the truth of the Scriptures. Now, we recall the Apostle Paul had the need to correct the church at Galatia. We remember the first chapter of Galatians in verse 6 that Paul wrote to them. He said, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." And he goes on to say that there really is another gospel, but there are some within the body there that are troubling you, that are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. So the church there at Galatia had slowly, maybe not quite so slowly, had started to drift away from the truth that they had embraced. Now, once the drifting starts, it's hard to stop. Mm-hmm. Faithfulness to God requires us to constantly row upstream, to fight against the currents of the world. Over at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. And Peter wrote there, it says, "By which..." And he's speaking of God's divine power here. He says, "By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." So if we don't work to strengthen, or if we don't persevere to strengthen and grow in our faith, then we're going to start to drift away. Peter also, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, he writes there. He said, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. And again here, Peter warns that if we're not steadfast in our knowledge, we can drift away. We've got to be growing in grace and in knowledge. So how does this apply to us today? Well, it should be pretty obvious how it applies to us today. We can get so involved in the things of the world, so overtaken in our troubles, that we stop growing and start drifting. You know, it's said of any business that you'll see out there, that the business is not growing and that business is not expanding, then that business is in decline. Mm-hmm. And this applies to us as well, to our Christian life as well. So if we're not growing spiritually, then something's lacking in our lives. And we're actually in decline if we're not growing. And if we allow this drifting to continue, the becomes faster and it becomes more dangerous to us. And as a person moves farther and farther away from God, they begin to care less and less about what they do, what others do. Over in Romans chapter 1, we have a very good example of this. Romans chapter 1. Verses 21 through 24. And it reads, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to their uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. So these men knew God, but they chose not to glorify God. They had drifted away, or they may have never even known Christianity, but they knew God, they knew who He was, but they didn't glorify Him. So God gave them up to their wickedness. Of course, this results in shipwreck, spiritually speaking. The same is true for us today. So what are some of the common warning signs that we might be drifting away? What do we need to watch out for? I think first and probably foremost that it's a diminishing desire to spend time studying God's Word. You know, the Bible is the divine source of information that's not found anywhere else, no matter where we look. It tells us the consequences of sin, and it gives us the plan that God put in place to rescue us from sin. It also provides direction for our lives, right, for our day-to-day living. And a happy and a useful life. Let's look at what the psalmist says about it. It's in the first chapter of Psalms. Psalms 1 and 1 through 3. It reads, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does, he shall prosper. So, Psalmist is telling that if we walk in God's counsel, we're going to be blessed. And our delight should be in the Word of God. And just like the tree that's planted by the river, we're going to prosper. We're going to flourish in the things that we do. And that's not to say that there's not going to be hard times, there's not going to be disappointments, there's not going to be failures. We know that Jesus said in John 16, 33, He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But Paul, in Romans chapter 8 and 28, he teaches there that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So, we know we're going to have disappointments, but all things will work together for good. And I think it has to be said that everything, as far as the spiritual lives go, hinges on our faith in God. The Hebrew writer, Hebrews 11, verse 6, teaches that without faith, it is impossible to please God. I think another warning sign that we are maybe drifting away is a diminishing desire to spend time with fellow Christians. And this undoubtedly includes attending the worship services every time we get an opportunity and sharing that fellowship with fellow Christians. And we need to have the attitude of the psalmist that we read of in Psalms 122 and verse 1. And this verse reads, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, are we glad? Do we look forward to coming to worship services on the first day of the week to worship God? Or do we just attend from a sense of obligation? And the difference is as great as night and day. I think another sign that we could look for that we might be drifting is that we keep finding more and more excitement over worldly things than we do over spiritual things. Now, for example, you know, you've seen parents get so excited almost beyond measure of an accomplishment that a child has made. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, with worldly accomplishments. But do we see the same enthusiasm when it comes to over spiritual matters, such as that child being baptized? Or maybe a wayward child returning to the faith? We don't see that kind of excitement. Over in 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John warned us against the love of the world and the things in the world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And he says there, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. You know, Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4 describes some men there who were lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, unless we watch, unless we stay on guard, it's just easier and easier for us to drift away into these worldly pleasures. So, we know what to look for, so how do we prevent drifting away? First, we need to make certain that we remain diligent to the Word. Again, the Apostle Peter, 2 Peter 1 and verse 10 wrote there, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall not fall. Which things is he referring to? If you do these things, you shall not fall. He's referring to the things mentioned in the previous verses 5 through 7, which are faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And each one of these builds upon the other. So if we model our spiritual lives on these things that Peter mentioned, then he says that we're never going to fall. Another safeguard that we can use to prevent us from drifting is to be prepared to stand up against opposition. In other words, to go against the grain. You know, it could be that we have to stand up against peer pressure. It could be that we have to stand up about, you know, trying not to seek the praises of other people. Or we need to stand up to point out false doctrine and liberalism within the church. And probably the most insidious is just neglect.
Mm-hmm.
Or just indifference on our part. You know, we should be as Paul told the Colossians to be. In Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7. And Paul told the Colossians, he said, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so you walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And in Hebrews, the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 through 19, he said that the hope we have is an anchor to the soul, and that this hope is both sure and it's steadfast. So we must remain strongly or firmly rooted, strongly anchored, to prevent ourselves from drifting away. So the question that we should ask ourselves, are we drifting away? You know, this is a real danger. It's not something that's foolish. If we didn't believe it's a real danger, it would be foolish to believe otherwise. There's too many people that have drifted away, and it would be arrogant to think it couldn't happen to us as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've all known people that have left the church, and we thought to ourselves, I never would have thought this person would have left. But they did. They left.
Yeah.
And there are signs of our drifting away. You know, what are the signs that we need to ask ourselves? Well, the questions we need to ask ourselves. I think one question that we should ask is my desire to study and pray not what it's supposed to be? Is my desire to fellowship with other Christians not what it once was? You know, fellowship is a big part of Christianity.
Yes, amen.
Have I lost interest in sharing the gospel with others? That's the only way it's going to get shared, is if we share it with other people. You know, this is not, of course, a complete list of questions, but it's some questions we should ask ourselves. You know, if we answer those questions yes, then maybe we need to admit we're drifting away. I think in closing, we should take note of what the Hebrew writer had to say. In Hebrews chapter 2, and verse 3. Hebrews 2 and verse 3. And he says there, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" You know, Christ is our only hope. If we don't accept that, there's no escape. That's our lesson for tonight. We ask you, if there's anyone in the audience that has any need, that you would respond as really leads us in our invitation.